into a donut store where I'm holding an open door to convey that I'm spoken for. It's great. It's a total score.
90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
But the reason I'm here is because these drag bands, they've never been about drag, right? Because these are the same people that are coming for medically necessary gender-affirming care.
Yeah.
These are the same people trying to kick our kids out of sports.
Yeah.
These are the same people trying to reject HIV funding for this state.
The nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization has declared a national state of emergency in the United States due to an unprecedented wave of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. We'll speak to the president of the Human Rights Campaign, Kelly Robinson. Then to Cornel West. The famed public intellectual has just announced he's running for president to challenge both the Democratic and Republican parties.
In these bleak times, I have decided to run for truth and justice, which takes the form of running for president of the United States as a candidate for the People's Party. I enter in the quest for truth. I enter in the quest for justice. And the presidency is just one vehicle to pursue that truth and justice, what I've been trying to do all of my life.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Air quality alerts were issued across multiple U.S. states and cities Tuesday, as well as today, as thick, dark smoke from Canada's hundreds of blazing wildfires blanketed the skies of the Northeast, Midwest, the Ohio Valley, and the Mid-Atlantic. The haze has triggered dangerous air pollution warnings impacting tens of millions of people, with New York City reporting the worst air quality in any major city worldwide Tuesday. There are over 400 blazes burning across nearly all of Canada's 10 provinces and territories, forcing tens of thousands of people to evacuate. The province of Quebec is facing some of the worst fires, many caused by lightning, covering neighboring Ottawa and Toronto with an orange haze. U.S. and Canadian officials are urging people with heart and lung issues and other vulnerable groups to remain indoors as much as possible. Record-breaking heat waves continue to plague much of the planet. The heat index in Puerto Rico reached 125 degrees Fahrenheit this week as the island is hit by the combined effects of a heat dome, El Niño, and climate change. Meanwhile, many Asian countries are sweltering under a prolonged heat wave, including Bangladesh, where elementary schools were shuttered this week and residents are dealing with frequent power cut outages as temperatures topped 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Many workers are still forced to spend hours outdoors with no relief.
The water shortage and the heat are suffocating us. Not a leaf is moving anywhere. There's no shade. It is becoming tough to pull a rickshaw. Very difficult.
This comes as a new study published this week by Nature Communications finds the Arctic is expected to be ice-free during the summer months, starting as early as the 2030s. Even in a best-case emissions reduction scenario, which the world is not currently on track to achieve, scientists say the loss of Arctic sea ice in the summer is now inevitable in the next few decades. Activists from the direct action group Climate Defiance stormed a talk hosted by the news site Semaphore in Washington, D.C. Tuesday, shutting down Senator Joe Manchin's keynote address.
It's because he takes the most money from fossil fuel corporations.
He has received over $1 million just in the last year alone from fossil fuel interests. He's the number one recipient of fossil fuel money in Congress.
23 days by hunger strike because we did everything we're supposed to. I knocked on thousands of doors. I talked to hundreds of West Virginians. I did everything I was supposed to.
Manchin was promoting so-called permitting reform, which allows for the fast-tracking of fossil fuel projects. The recently passed debt limit deal gave the green light to expedite the 300-plus mile-long frack gas Mountain Valley pipeline through West Virginia and Virginia. Evacuations continue in southern Ukraine as some 42,000 people are at risk of flooding along the Dnipro River after the Novokhachovka Dam collapsed on Tuesday. Russia and Ukraine have traded blame for its destruction. The UN has warned of grave and far-reaching humanitarian consequences. This is a resident affected by the flooding.
The situation is literally critical. If the water rises another meter, we will lose our house. We are moving our stuff to neighbors now who live on higher ground. The Russians want to destroy a Ukrainian nation and Ukraine itself, and they don't care by what means because nothing is sacred for them.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador's ruling political party has won the gubernatorial election in the state of Mexico, dealing a major blow to the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI, which had held the state's governorship for nearly a century without interruption. Morena candidate Delfina Gómez won in Sunday's governor's race with over half the vote. Her victory continues to mark the PRI's decline in Mexican politics since AMLO's election to the presidency. The state of Mexico is the most populous in Mexico, surrounding much of Mexico City. In related news, Mexico's foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, announced Tuesday he's stepping down to run for president in next year's election. In France, protesters took to the streets around the country and transport workers staged strikes Tuesday as opponents of President Emmanuel Macron's pension overhaul seek to revive public momentum against the reform nearly 2 months after it was signed into law. A long-shot amendment is being brought to the National Assembly by leftist lawmakers, though it's not expected to go anywhere. Many demonstrators say they just want their voices heard. This is a student from Nantes.
The reform passed without our democracy, so it's important to make the government understand that we never wanted this reform and that it's time for the people to speak, because it shows that the government cares less and less about people's will. And so it's important that we take the power back on that level.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Saudi Arabia, where he met with Crown Prince, de facto head of state Mohammed bin Salman in Jeddah. Blinken said the pair, quote, discussed deepening economic cooperation as the U.S. vies to increase its sway in the region, including over gas prices, amidst competing bids for influence from China and Russia, and to push for the normalization of Saudi-Israeli relations. As a presidential candidate, Biden vowed to make Saudi Arabia a pariah over its human rights record and the assassination of journalist Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. In related news, Iran has reopened its embassy in Saudi Arabia after it recently restored diplomatic ties in a Beijing-brokered deal. In sports news, the PGA, the Professional Golfers Association of America, announced a merger of their PGA Tour with the Saudi LIV Golf Tour. The news came as a shock to much of the sports world, as the PGA spent months trying to undermine LIV by banning golfers who joined the Saudi venture from participating in PGA events. Critics say it's the latest example of sports washing to gain cultural and corporate influence by a country accused of massive human rights violations. The UN Relief and Works Agency has only received about a third of the $300 million in funding it needs from international donors to continue its humanitarian work in the occupied territories and Palestinian refugee camps and surrounding countries. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned UNRWA is, quote, on the verge of financial collapse. Meanwhile, a group of Gazan children Tuesday demonstrated in front of the local offices of the UN food program after the UN agency recently stopped distributing financial and food aid to families in need due to funding shortages. The ongoing occupation and blockade of Palestinian land by Israel has put the unemployment rate in Gaza at above 45%, as two-thirds of the population struggles to afford food. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen is calling on the U.S. State Department to declassify its report on the killing last year of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank. Van Hollen said the report offers some valuable information, though noted access to key witnesses was denied and the findings cannot be considered a true independent investigation. Shireen Abu Akleh, a longtime reporter at Al Jazeera, was shot dead by Israeli gunfire last May while covering an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank in Jenin. In Virginia, a gunman shot two people dead and injured another five Tuesday after a high school graduation ceremony at a park in Richmond, Virginia. Police arrested a 19-year-old suspect who was found in possession of four handguns. According to the Gun Violence Archive, it was the 279th mass shooting in the U.S. this year. This is Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney.
This should not be happening anywhere. Anywhere. Whether it's in Richmond, whether it's in Virginia, whether it's in the United States, this should not be happening anywhere. A child should be able to go to their graduation and walk out of graduation and enjoy the accomplishment with their friends and their family.
In Florida, the family of Ajike A.J. Owens is seeking accountability after the black mother of four was shot dead through her neighbor's front door last week. According to lawyer Ben Crump, the neighbor yelled at Ms. Owens' children for playing in a field next to their apartment complex and used racist slurs. When the children returned to retrieve a forgotten iPad, she threw it at them and hit a child. Ms. Owens went to confront the neighbor and through the closed door, the neighbor inside, Owens outside, she shot and killed her. The neighbor has been identified as a white woman, though her name has not been released. The Human Rights Campaign has issued its first ever state of emergency for LGBTQ plus people in the U.S. amidst an onslaught of hateful legislation. More than 525 anti-LGBTQ state bills have been introduced in the 2023 legislative session. Over 70 of those have become law. The group released a guide listing state by state anti-LGBTQ laws and a Know Your Rights guide for LGBTQ plus travelers. We'll speak with HRC President Kelly Robinson after headlines. In related news, a federal judge blocked parts of a Florida law banning gender-affirming care for transgender youth. Judge Robert Hinkle asserted gender identity is real as he ruled in favor of the families of three transgender children who will be allowed to obtain prescription puberty blockers. Other parts of the wide-ranging ban remain in place. Meanwhile, Louisiana's Republican-dominated legislature passed its own ban on gender-affirming care for most minors Tuesday, sending the bill to the Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards' desk. Though the governor has opposed the bill, a GOP supermajority could override his veto. In Texas, the Bexar County Sheriff's Office is recommending criminal charges over the migrant flights arranged by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that carried 49 asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard last year. The case is being reviewed by the district attorney's office. This comes as California Governor Gavin Newsom is threatening possible kidnapping charges after Florida arranged for two planes carrying around three dozen migrants to be flown from the U.S.-Mexico border to Sacramento in recent days. Pharmaceutical company Merck is suing the Biden administration over its law empowering Medicare to negotiate for lower prices on some drugs passed as part of last year's Inflation Reduction Act. Among others, Merck's highly anticipated cancer medication could be affected by the change. The White House responded to the suit Tuesday.
There is nothing in the Constitution that prevents Medicare from negotiating lower drug prices. Anytime profits of the pharmaceutical industry are challenged, they make claims about it hindering their ability to innovate. Not only are these arguments untrue, but the American people do not buy them.
Attorneys representing former President Donald Trump met with special counsel Jack Smith at the Justice Department Monday in a last-minute plea to avoid an indictment of the former president. Trump's lawyers had requested to meet with Attorney General Merrick Garland. It's believed the conversation focused on grand jury investigations around Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election, his role in the January 6th insurrection, and his mishandling of classified documents. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has reportedly testified to the federal grand jury in Jack Smith's probe. And members of Hollywood's largest union, SAG-AFTRA, overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike as the entertainment industry fights back against pay issues, the impact of streaming services on residuals, and the threat of AI to workers' livelihoods. Union members hope the nearly 98% vote backing a strike will help move talks with studios and streaming companies forward. This comes as Hollywood writers are in the sixth week of their strike. Many actors have joined WGA members in solidarity on the picket line since the start of that strike.
Without the writers and the actors, there's no story and there's no one to bring the story to life. So, you know, we're very much a collaborative effort out here.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. Coming up, the nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights group has declared a national state of emergency in the United States. Stay with us. Influence Mix of Another Day by Kathy Sledge. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization in the United States has declared its first ever state of emergency due to an unprecedented wave of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. The Human Rights Campaign says more than 525 anti-LGBTQ state bills have been introduced this year, in the 2023 legislative session, over 70 have become law. In the latest move on Tuesday, Louisiana's Republican-dominated legislature passed a ban on gender-affirming care for most minors, sending the bill to the Democratic governor who's opposed it, but a GOP supermajority in the legislature could override his veto. Most major medical groups, including the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics, support gender-affirming health care for transgender minors and adults. Also Tuesday, a federal judge temporarily blocked Florida's bans on gender transition care for three transgender children amidst ongoing legal challenges. Their families filed a lawsuit arguing the bans are unconstitutional, and the judge agreed they represent, quote, purposeful discrimination against transgenders. Meanwhile, in the Los Angeles suburb of Glendale, police declared an unlawful assembly Tuesday night after more than 500 people protested outside a school board meeting where a vote was scheduled on recognizing June as Pride Month. A physical fight broke out between anti-LGBTQ protesters and LGBTQ supporters, and the brawl was so big it was picked up by a local news traffic cam. This comes as 2024 Republican presidential contender Nikki Haley tried to connect teen girls' suicidal ideation to transgender rights during a CNN town hall Sunday.
The idea that we have biological boys playing in girls' sports, it is the women's issue of our time. My daughter ran track in high school. I don't even know how I would have that conversation with her. How are we supposed to get our girls used to the fact that biological boys are in their locker rooms? And then we wonder why a third of our teenage girls seriously contemplated suicide last year?
A recent report by the Trevor Project, the world's largest suicide prevention and mental health organization for LGBTQ young people, found roughly half of transgender and non-binary young people said they'd seriously considered suicide over the last year. And 30% said laws and policies that target LGBTQ people had worsened their mental health. This is Nebraska State Senator Megan Hunt, whose son is transgender, responding to Republican Governor Jim Pillen after he signed a bill last month that bans gender-affirming treatment for transgender youth. Hunt had joined a months-long filibuster to block the measure.
This person said that they had attempted suicide during this session in Nebraska, a trans person. And I said to them, do not let one of these trash people who I work with be the reason that you're not here. They don't matter. The potential you have for the rest of your life is so much bigger than the damage any of these trash people can do in their little four-year, eight-year term. Senator Kalthus stood up and said that trans kids are suicidal and depressed because they're trans. No, it's because of bullies like her who are trying to legislate their existence and take away the right to be viewed as fully human in our culture and society.
For more, we're joined by Kelly Robinson, president of the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ plus civil rights organization in the United States. This is the first time in the 40-year history of your group that you've decided to issue this emergency declaration. Talk about why you did this, Kelly Robinson.
Thank you. You know, we felt like we had a responsibility to do so. I mean, you've laid it out. We've seen unprecedented attacks at the legislative level. We're seeing real life violence impacting our community from California to the one in five of every hate crime being motivated by anti-LGBTQ plus bias. And in this moment, when people are traveling across the country, when they're deciding to move or what schools to go to, we had a responsibility to let people know that, one, there's an imminent health and safety crisis facing our community. And two, there's a dizzying patchwork of protections for us and for our families, depending on the state that you're in. This report lays that out and also gives resources on what your rights are and what you can do if you find yourself in one of these hostile states.
Can you talk about what's behind this wave of, and wave doesn't really state it accurately, we're talking about, as you've documented, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills that have been put forward across the country?
This is political theater. They are doing this to pander to a MAGA Republican base in so many of these states. Look, the majority of the people support the LGBTQ plus community. 70% of Americans support the LGBTQ plus community and believe that that legislators should be standing with our values. One in five of Generation Z identifies as a member of this community. 20 million American adults. This is not an issue of the margins. What we're seeing play out is a loud and vocal minority that is sowing hate and fear against our community because they're not willing to solve the real problems. If they actually cared about the safety of our kids, they would be moving forward legislation to prevent gun violence, the number one killer of our children, not taking away the rights of parents to support our kids and growing into their fullest selves.
Over the weekend, U.S. District Judge Thomas Parker ruled a new Tennessee law restricting drag performances in public was unconstitutional. This is drag performer Cian Howe at a Pride event in Franklin, Tennessee.
Having the answer finally delivered and that breath of fresh air and that weight off our shoulders that it's finally gone, we don't have to worry about it, is lovely. We can breathe easy for the rest of the year. There's still a fight, and we still have to continue fighting. There's still other states that drag is still being criminalized that we still have to work on, but this is definitely a step in the right direction.
And in related news, a federal judge blocked parts of a Florida law banning gender-affirming care for transgender youth. Judge Robert Henkel asserted gender identity is real, and he ruled in favor of three families with three transgender children who will be allowed to obtain prescription puberty blockers. So there is very bad news, but also good news. And some of these rulings are by Trump-appointed judges.
Yes, that's very true. I mean, that's just showing the extent to which that they are going, how unconstitutional the laws are that they're passing in these states. But the thing that I really want to pull forward is the impact is real. The fact that over 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been introduced, even if they don't pass into law, it is having a devastating impact on the safety and well-being of our community. And when you match that with easy access to firearms, with an extreme rhetoric of hate, that's where we're getting these real life outcomes of violence, from kids having increased incidents of mental health crises to real assaults at drag queen story hours or bomb threats on hospitals. That's why this is such a crisis right now, because it's got the legislative impact, the human impact, and then it's creating a culture of fear for our community, because we know they're trying to push us back into the closet right now. And we are doing all that we can to show up in joyful resistance and resilience to make that not the case. Not only for ourselves today, but for every young person that's watching this play out.
So talk about doing this as presidential candidates are coming forward and taking very strong stands against the gay community in the Republican field. Everyone from Governor DeSantis of Florida to the former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. Can you talk about what you hope declaring this national state of emergency, how it will affect the presidential campaign?
You know, I have to say that what I see playing out in the Republican primary is devastating, it's sickening, and it's horrifying. They are pandering, again, to an extremist base and sowing fear against our kids, against our trans children, only for political gain. They know that this isn't where the majority of the country is. They know that we've identified 62 million voters in the country that prioritize LGBTQ plus issues when deciding who to vote for. That's, of course, LGBTQ plus people, but that's also our allies, our friends, our family. We can't allow them to continue this line of attack. And even more so, we've got to bolster up our champions. We've got to make sure that everyone that is a supporter and ally of this community turns into a champion in 2024 to hold the strongest line possible. We can't cede ground to these bullies, especially politically. And at the end of the day, we also have to recognize that this is an intersectional attack. The same people that are coming after gender-affirming care are also attacking our access to abortion. The same people that are trying to outlaw the ability to teach queer theories in schools are trying to ban books and outlaw the ability to teach about Black history. They are launching an attack on all of our communities that is truly a crisis to our democracy.
I wanted to ask you about what's happening in the United States going global, Kelly. In May, the Ugandan president, Yoweri Museveni, signed a sweeping anti-LGBTQ measure into law that makes same-sex relationship punishable by life in prison, even the death penalty in some cases. It's one of the most draconian anti-LGBTQ laws in the world. In April, we spoke to the Ugandan activist Frank Mugisha about the role of U.S. evangelicals in pushing this law forward in Uganda.
The homophobia and transphobia we are seeing towards queer and trans persons in Uganda is from the West. It is mostly peddled by extreme American evangelicals. Just last week, we had American evangelicals in Uganda attending a conference that was titled the Interparliamentary Conference on African Values. But the agenda for this conference was anti-gay and anti-gender. In fact, some of the African members of parliament who attended this conference are trying to introduce similar legislation in other countries. For example, Kenya, a member of parliament who attended this conference in Uganda that was heavily supported by American evangelicals, is now trying to introduce a similar legislation in Kenya. We are seeing this anti-gay propaganda and anti-gay legislations moving around Africa. Ghana already has one. We are worried about other countries like Burundi, Tanzania, that could introduce similar legislations.
So that's Frank Mugisha, the LGBTQ activist in Uganda. So many LGBTQ people are fleeing Uganda right now with the passage and signing of this law, Kelly Robinson. In that conversation, he particularly focused on the American evangelical Scott Lively, who talked about homosexuality as a Western agenda. Can you talk about how what's happening